West Coast College Training, July 4th through 11th, Occidental, California. Title, Christ Our Portion. Evening Session, Message 4, Living a Hidden Life with Christ. Scripture Reading, Colossians 3, 1 through 4.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
All right. It's good to go back. I hope you'll all spend time when you return to your native land, where all the natives are, to enjoy Christ item by item. Yeah. Item by item! Yeah. Enjoy Him item by item according to the contents of these outlines. Actually, this entire binder here is so full and so rich and so sweet that I just think it's an inexhaustible portion. But we will do our best. We'll try to exhaust it, but we know we never will, right? Christ is inexhaustible.
Amen.
You know, it used to be that people thought everything on the earth was inexhaustible, right? That's why if you study the California history, any, I didn't study much because it's not very interesting, I don't think. But in California history, there was such a thing called the Gold Rush. Do you remember that? Yeah, 49ers and all that. Well, for a certain period of time there, when they were going after gold, you know what they did? They just washed down mountains. It's called hydraulic mining. Have you ever heard of that? Any engineering majors here? They just take a big hose, a really big hose, and they just wash down the mountain. And then whatever comes out that's gold, they take it and spend it. I don't know what they did with it those days. Right? But eventually they realize we're going to run out of mountains pretty soon, right? Mountains are exhaustible.
That's right.
Right? And now the big deal that you're getting in your educational career is the idea that resources are shrinking. We don't have enough. It's all running out. Right? I remember a brother who was in the physics field preached the gospel very compellingly one time with a gospel tract that showed the energy supply of the world approaching empty. You know that feeling you have when you look in your car and you're just driving down the road, and all of a sudden it's going, ooh, ooh, you know. Well, that's the way the whole world is. It's running out. It's running out. You mean, but get this. I mean, we all can see the live cam, right, in the Gulf of Mexico. I mean, it almost might as well be limitless, right? I mean,
sorry.
This pipe is how much they won't even tell us how much oil is coming out of this thing. And it just keeps coming and coming and coming. Right now, probably since I got up on the platform here, they've lost 10,000 gallons of oil. Easy, right?
Yeah, about
192,000 gallons a day. Thank you, Clinton, right? It's good to have an engineer around when you need one, or a mathematician. Okay. Well, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful opportunity to preach the gospel to people because we can tell them, you know, we have a Christ who is inexhaustible.
Amen.
And He's rich. And He's sweet. Wouldn't be very good if He was inexhaustible and rich and not sweet. Right? So big deal. He's inexhaustible. I don't care. He's rich. So what? Big deal. I'm not, but He's sweet.
Amen.
So I can enjoy Him. I enjoy one who is inexhaustible and rich and sweet. Like all you guys say, sweet, sweet, sweet. Last night we were down with the campfire with the sisters, and the sisters were singing sweetly. And then we brothers could hear, over the din of the sisters singing, we could hear the brothers up in the mountain. That's what we got this. That's what this camp is here for. But the trees up here must be really happy trees, right? According to Dick, you know, because the Dick said the roosters are going, please enjoy Christ more. Enjoy Christ more. Enjoy. Get me out of here. These trees are going, hallelujah. Bible says the trees will clap their hands, right? The old fundamentalists used to say, you know, and if God says the trees are going to clap their hands, well, by golly, they're going to clap their hands. He's inexhaustible. Yay! He's rich and he's sweet. Yay! Oh, Lord. All right. I told myself I'm going to stick to the outlines. I think this is on the subject, though, right? Christ our portion! Christ is our portion. Christ is not just our Savior, but I don't say that lightly. Because a big aspect of our portion is His saving us. In fact, if He didn't save us, we could not enjoy Him. Right? You know, we are in need of a very dear Savior. His saving us, His saving us in the sense of we think of His dying for us, right, is essential. His coming to die, save us from our sins, is essential. Not for our future benefit, not for our eternal rest and glory, but for our present enjoyment of Him. Right? You know, there's some hymns. I'll get into this a little later in the sharing, but I would, you know, when we spend time with the Lord, we're going to talk tonight about our time with the Lord, personal, hidden life with the Lord. Amen. It's always good to start. You know where I like to start? I like to start in the hymns, in the hymnal on the gospel. Because every time I come to the Lord, I need to be saved all over again. Amen. I need saved! Yeah. So we need the Savior. But this Savior is our Savior to bring us into a whole other realm. To bring us into a whole other universe. Brother Lee one time called Christ another planet. We're on planet Christ tonight.
Amen.
How about that?
Amen.
It's very hospitable to the divine life. It supports the divine life.
Amen.
Doesn't support the natural life. There's nothing here to breathe if you're in the natural man. This is one suffocating environment if you're in the flesh or the natural life, as all of you can testify. When you're not in your spirit, you're, you know, get me out of here. There's nothing to do here. There's nothing to eat. There's nothing, right? But when we're in our spirit, when we're exercising our spirit, we are on the most wonderful planet in the universe.
Amen.
We're on planet Christ.
Amen.
Right? So this Christ is our portion, and the book of Colossians unveils Him as our portion, right? In the first message that Dick shared, Dick told me he really got into and enjoyed all the aspects of Christ in the book of Deuteronomy, right? Christ is the land which signifies Christ is a land of water brooks and springs, of fountains. It's a land of wheat. You know, wheat is the crucified Christ. Aren't you? You're all living in environments where you get crucified regularly, right? Anybody have a little brother? Anybody have a big brother? Then you really get crucified, right? Daily you die, right? At the hands of this guy who's a couple years older than you, right? So what do you need? You need a lot of Christ. You need a lot of wheat. Suffering, limited, dying Christ. And you have a land. You don't just go get your bread at the store. You have a land full of the incarnated, suffering Christ. You have a land, a whole land. There's so many points, right? Wheat, barley, the first fruits, a vine, not only producing wine, but signifying Christ, sacrificing himself. You have a land full of a sacrificial life. Fig trees, speaking of sweetness. Figs are really sweet, you know. I have a big fig tree in my... Actually, I have two fig trees. When I stay in Anaheim with my son, we have this fig tree. It just is beautiful. It's full of sweet fruit. And then I have another fig tree at home. It reminds me of what the Lord said about the nation of Israel, okay? It's just it's a real disaster, okay? It's a sad tree. I think the Lord just leaves it there to remind me, you know. Is that what you're like? You just got all these figs on you and they all fall off before they ripen. This is this old thing. All right. Then I have another fig tree in Anaheim, bursting with life, full of sweetness. There's nothing sweeter than a fig. You know that? Maybe you don't like figs. I didn't used to like figs, but then I started eating them off this tree. Anyway, so sweet, right? You can make syrup out of figs. Just squeeze them and cook them. Sweet. Lord, you're sweet. Amen. Sweetness and satisfaction of Christ. Oh, saints, isn't it so satisfying to enjoy Christ?
Amen.
Listen, everybody, everything, anything in the world, eventually, no matter how good it is at the start. I was thinking the other day, you know, the people who do, you know, fireworks are fun, right? You like fireworks? If you live in Anaheim, you don't like fireworks. It's a boom, 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 right? It's time to go home, right? Every night, fireworks, 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 right? Well, if you're from the country like me, it's a big deal, right? Fireworks, right? Just imagine if your job was to set off fireworks every night. How much would you like fireworks? Boom, boom, boom. All these yokels come into town, you know, and you light off the rockets for them, you know, and you're just bored stiff. You're so bored. It's such a drag. That's life. That's life without Christ. But listen, every time I enjoy Christ as my fireworks, I'm so happy.
Amen.
It's like 4th of July all over again.
Amen.
Same fireworks, same Christ, always the same. But I've never boring. Never. If you're bored, it's not Christ. He's not bored. He's not bored with you. Well, I'm so bored. I'm bored with the Lord. Well, the Lord's not bored with you. He'll just wait until you get desperate enough to really call. Or maybe he'll put you in a situation where you have to call. Brother Lee told the story when they were beginning, the Lord was beginning to recover calling on the Lord, and this brother had a hard time with calling on the Lord. And then one day he was riding his bicycle. This was in Taiwan. They used bikes a lot in those days. He was riding his bicycle. All of a sudden, he got into a big, really bad accident. And while he was flying through the air, can you just see it, right? Boom. He's just arcing out over the traffic, right? He's going, oh, Jesus! The Lord knows how to get you to call on his name. He knows how. He's the Lord. So don't say he's boring. He will not be boring. Well, it's okay to say he's bored. Just say, I'm bored. I'm bored with this stuff. I don't get this. I'm not getting it at all. The Lord will say, oh. Really? You're not getting it? Okay, well, I'll work. I'll arrange something. It's okay. No problem. I'm here. Don't worry. It's okay. The Lord's not worried. He's not worried. Then he just makes a little arrangement. Lord Jesus! Amen. Or he brings you to a conference and you're sitting there like a block of ice. You're not even dripping. You're so cold. You know what I mean? You're not. It's 85 and you're just smoking a little bit. You know, you're just like dry ice. You're just rock solid cold. Cold as a block of ice. And then all of a sudden you're just calling on the Lord. You're weeping. You know, I went to some meetings one time. I went to these meetings and I was accompanied by a block of ice. Frozen. You know, one of the experts we had in the past history of our battles, litigation, was a man of the cloth, as they call them. He was a clergyman. And he was among a certain group of people. And he said, we're not God's chosen people. We're God's frozen people. Because they're so... Yeah, I wasn't going to say. Anyway, I went to some meetings with a block of ice. I mean, it was very discouraging and disappointing just to be around this block of ice. I flew down on the plane with a block of ice. I went to the hospitality with a block of ice. Everybody who got around this person got frostbite. Yeah, it was bad. Okay, we got into the meeting. And all of a sudden, this block of ice, there's about this many people in the meeting, and this block of ice stands up. I'm going. And she says something like, oh Lord, I just love you! If the Lord can thaw somebody like that, deep freeze, you know, we're talking about ice age, you know. It's like digging out a woolly mammoth or something, you know? Frozen through and through. Have you ever gotten that way? Maybe you're that way tonight. You're just going, there's no hope for me. I'm just a block of ice. I don't have any heart for the Lord at all. The Lord's just saying, it's okay. Don't worry about it. I've got a real fast defrost. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Lord, you're our defroster!
Yeah.
Then if you get too hot, you need an air conditioner. Sometimes the Lord can be a block of ice for you, if you know what I mean. All right? The manna they ate looked like frost. It cooled the flesh. Cooled you down. We're either too hot or too cold. The Lord is just right, right? He's all these wonderful things to us. He's inexhaustible. He's rich and sweet. Okay, let's read the Roman numerals. I'm just going to walk through the Roman numerals. Walking through the Roman numerals. Okay, let's read the Roman numerals on message number one. They're so dear. They're so. Let's eat as we read. Okay, let's take a walk through the cornfield. Okay, you're allowed to pick and eat anything that looks good. All right. Let's go. Roman numeral one. God's intention in his economy
is that the all-inclusive Christ is everything to us.
Are you all there? I think you're looking at the... I'm looking at message one. Sorry, you guys all clicked your binders and you got your notes out and all that. I'm going back to message one. Click. Message one, page 73. We're going to read all the Roman numerals. Okay, Roman number one, brothers, go.
God's intention.
in economy. Be everything to us. Amen. Sisters, Roman numeral 2. Allotted portion. Brothers, you've got to read that too. The all-inclusive Christ is our allotted portion. Everyone on 3. The issue of our enjoyment of the all-inclusive riches of Christ as the good land is the church, as the temple, the dwelling place of God, and as the city, the kingdom of God. Did you just read that? Are we really reading that? I mean, it's... My goodness. You know, there's a hymn in the hymnal that's talked about Zion. It says, solid joy and lasting pleasure. Amen. Is there pleasure in the world? Yeah, there is, sure. Right? Is there joy in the world? Well, yeah, maybe. Joy? I don't know about that. Maybe. But solid joy? Lasting pleasure. It's like a, what do you call that? An oxymoron, right? Doesn't make sense. Right? Lasting pleasure. Pleasure doesn't last. It's not supposed to, right? Isn't it supposed to run out? Lasting pleasure. What does this joy and enjoyment issue in? It issues in the temple of God. Amen. And it issues in the kingdom of God. Amen. The more we enjoy Christ as our God-allotted portion, the more the church, the temple of God, comes out. That is a divine thought. That is not a human thought. It's a divine thought. Our enjoyment is not just joy, 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 joy. No, it's solid. It's full of meaning. It's productive. It issues. It builds. It's just wonderful. Right? Okay? That was message 1. Let's go to message number 2, page 77. This is really something here. Let's just really get around this. Okay, let's read brothers 1, sisters 1. Okay, and then let's pray, read it a little bit with your companion. Go. The Christ unveiled. Sisters. Amen. Pray read with your partner for a minute. Yeah, amen. Okay, by the word all-inclusive, you should know what all-inclusive means. Well, it just kind of means everything. It's just everything. Yeah, just praise the Lord, all-inclusive. Yeah. This is what Brother Lee called skating on the ice. You just skate on the ice. All-inclusive. All-inclusive, faithful to, 'tis all we need. You all know that word. Well, what does it mean? Well, what does it mean? Give me a definite. Hey, got a hand up over there? Oh, that's somebody getting a chewy. Christ is the real treat. Real chewy. Okay, what does it mean? What does all-inclusive mean?
Christ.
Christ? Who said that? Christ? It means Christ. Well, but it says Christ. Let's develop that thought a little, huh? I don't think that would pass muster at my college or your college, right? What does it mean Christ is all-inclusive? He's everything. Sounds pantheistic to me. Pan, everything. Theos, God. Just a bunch of pantheists here? What does all inclusive mean?
Including everything comprehensive.
Oh, yeah. You see, this is the internet age now. You just Google it, right? And it's, you got the answer and you got 400 pages to back it up, right? Okay. Here's what it really, what we mean. Very briefly. Christ is God. And Christ is man. That's pretty covers a whole lot, doesn't it? Man implies a whole lot of things. Christ is the creator. Right? According to Hebrews chapter 1. And Christ is, listen, the creation. Some guy, whoa, Christ is the creation. Yeah. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Brother Lee said that to be the firstborn of all creation is like being the first in your class. It means you're in the class. Doesn't mean you're the principal. That's not a student. You're the first. That means you're in that category. Right? First means second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, right? Colossians 1:15 says Christ is the firstborn of all creation. Pray over it. Enjoy it. And read the footnotes and the life study. Okay? You'll see. This is what we mean, Christ is all-inclusive, okay? Then Christ is the centrality of God. He's the centrality of God's economy. He's the universality of God's economy. Everything is in Christ. Everything is for Christ. Everything is by Christ. Everything is to Christ. He is the centrality of God. If God wants to show you something, it's Christ. Amen. He's all inclusive. And he, according to Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, he is the body of all the shadows. You know, Romans chapter 1, listen, this is a very good verse. Romans chapter 1, and I didn't cover it last night. Romans chapter 1 says that for the invisible things of Him, even His eternal power and divine characteristics are made known by the things that are visible. So, you take that verse, and you put that verse together with Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, about the daily, weekly, monthly, annual feasts, new moons, Sabbaths, and what's the other one? Help me. You put those together, and the undeniable truth is that Christ is the reality of everything. All that we see points us to Christ. Christ is the real structure of God's building. Christ is God's building. This building is a picture of Christ. Christ is the tree. Christ is the light. Christ is the chair. Christ is the table. Christ is the container. This is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He who has the Son, he who has the bottle has the Dasani. I got the bottle. I've got the Dasani, right? You don't have the bottle? No, he's got a bottle. But I have Dasani. Twice as much as that one there. Listen, Christ is the reality. He is the substance. He is the truth of every positive thing. When we say our Christ is all-inclusive, we have to tell people this. We have to help the dear believers in Christ know these things. But I hope in my heart more, we'll speak these things to those who've never known Him. This is the all-inclusive Christ. He includes God. He includes man. Right? Then He's extensive. And He's preeminent. He's preeminent. God has given Him the first place in all things. It pleased, right? It pleased all the fullness to dwell in Him. Right. Okay, Roman numeral 2. Let's read it all together. Okay, all together with a good, strong spirit. Go. The all-inclusive Christ who indwells us is the mystery of God's economy. Okay, He's the mystery of God's economy. This is Roman numeral 2 on page 77. We're kind of going back and forth here. Stay with me. Okay. God's New Testament economy is like a great wheel. Having Christ as every part. He is the hub, the center, the spokes, the support, and the rim, the circumference of the divine economy. To God and for God, nothing matters but Christ. That's why in Colossae, Paul was so burdened to write this epistle to them. He'd never seen them. They'd never known him personally. And you know, he even said, I'm writing this to you for those of you who have not seen my face. Because, you know, in Galatians, when Paul went to Galatia, Paul was reminding them of how they were with him there. And you know how he said how they received him? They said, you received me just as Christ. You read it. Paul said a lot of things nobody would have the boldness to say. He said, don't you remember how you were with me? How you took care of my infirmity? And you received me even as you would Christ Jesus. It may be even stronger than that. He was trying to get him back. Snap out of it. Hey, Christ, not the law, not religion. You got Judaized. You've been bewitched. He used the word bewitched. You've been witchcraft, sorcery has been used on you to deceive you from the purity of Christ. Sorry, we're jumping a little bit here. But I want to show you this. I was surprised when I was reading this. Galatians chapter. Do you know where it is? The verse I'm looking for? Huh? 4:14. Thank you very much. Okay. Yeah. And that which was a trial to you in my flesh, this is some physical impediment to him, you did not despise nor loathe, because by that time they were despising Paul. They were loathing Paul. They were talking against Paul. Okay, he said, but you received me as an angel of God. Listen, indeed, as Christ Jesus. Paul was concerned about those who hadn't seen him because they didn't know Christ the way Paul was communicating him. So they got led away. They got deceived. They got defrauded. They got carried away as spoil from their portion, from their allotment. So Paul came in. Paul came into town and just 4th of July. Just one rocket after another. Aren't these rockets? I mean, these are bursts of light that just fill the sky. Christ is the image. He's the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of all creation. He's the head of the body. He's the firstborn, boom, boom, boom. You know, when they have some, I know a little bit about fireworks. I've been in a few fireworks shows. You know, when they got the fireworks up there, you think it's the daytime. You know, my little grandson told me the other day, he goes, Baba, When the fireworks went off, it was just like daytime. It was just like daytime. Listen, these Colossians, when they were reading this epistle, they were going, oh, 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 it's daytime again. Amen. We don't need the law. We don't need to worship angels. We don't need to take care of ordinances. We need to enjoy Christ. God has allotted Christ to us. Okay? He's the mystery in God's economy. He's everything in God's economy. He's the mystery of God. Listen, this helped me when Dick was sharing this. The mystery of God is the history of God. You know our wonderful diagram? We have this wonderful diagram. God, right? Okay. Then we have this. Kind of looks like the. Can't see that, can you? Okay. There we go. Okay. You know, this is the creation. Okay. And then this is what? Incarnation. Listen. Incarnation was God's, the beginning of God's history. Christ, as the mystery of God, is the history of God. I was thinking, well, you could say this is time, right? This is the beginning of time. But God had no entry into this until he became incarnated. That was the beginning of the history of God. And you know, that's the beginning of your history and my history. Because 1 Corinthians 1:30 tells us what? of God, you are in Christ Jesus. That's the mystery of God. That's the history of God. And everything Christ passed through is the unveiling, the unfolding, the explanation, the definition, the expression of God. All right? He's the mystery of God's economy, the history. He's the mystery of God. All right, then let's go on to lesson message number 3. Let's turn to page 83. You have to study these things when you go back more fully. And you have to reference the recovery version and the footnotes and the life studies with your companions. Okay. Let's read Roman numeral 1 all together. All right? You got it? Page 83? Roman numeral 1. Go. The all-inclusive Christ is the reality of all the positive things in the universe. Okay, I sort of already covered that. I covered Romans 1:20, right? Ephesians 3:18. And to know the dimensions of Christ, to know what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and the knowledge surpassing love of Christ. These are the dimensions of Christ, and the dimensions of Christ are seen in the dimensions of the universe. I'm no astrophysicist, but I think the universe is a little bigger in people's ideas than it was 20 years ago. Is that right? Currently, recently educated and trained at the finest schools in the land. It's bigger! And it's getting bigger! How fast is it getting bigger? Speed of light? Maybe not the speed of light. Okay. Listen, this is Christ. This is the shadow of Christ. To answer the pantheistic accusation, we're not saying that the universe is Christ. We're saying that the Christ is the reality of the universe. Okay. He's the reality of all the positive things in the universe. And here's where we have to practice speaking this. I really mean it. I would encourage you, when you walk home to your, when you go back to the Pine Knot village, or whatever it is, or they used to call this one place here Birdland, you know. I think they gave it a little better name now. Okay. When you're going back to wherever you're going tonight, speak, Lord, you're my way. Lord, if I didn't have you, I wouldn't know where to go. Lord, and you're my destination. And you're my dwelling place. Isn't it good to have Christ as our dwelling place? Yeah, dwelling place is a comfortable place, isn't it? You know, make yourself at home. When God gave us Christ, just make yourself at home. Just relax. You're home. You're my son. Be happy. You know, when the prodigal son came back, what did the father do? Right? Yeah, he rarely ran to him. Yeah, but then he brought him into the house. He ran to him to get him and bring him home. Amen. To enjoy. Right? The Father is so happy when we just enjoy His Son as our home. You want to please God? You want to please the Father? You want to give Him what He wants? Be at home in Christ. Be happy. I like to be home. I like to go home. I've really enjoyed staying here. I'm just staying in this nice place. I guess that means I'm kind of an older guy, huh? Right? I'm staying in a cabin there. It's nice. It's quiet. When I get home, it's not quiet. Especially right now, because I have my grandchildren there. And we have dogs. I have more dogs than I have grandchildren. How's that work? Okay, but I'm home. I'm happy. This is what Christ is to us. Lord, you're my real home. I can be at peace in you. I've been brought into you. Sometimes you feel, oh, I'm just not out. I'm not in the Lord. I'm outside. Well, that's easy. That's simple. You say, Lord Jesus, thank you for your precious blood. Lord, thank you. When I just have to turn a little bit. And if we don't want to turn, the Lord will help us turn back in the direction of Christ. He's our cabin. He's our bed. It's good to speak these things. Lord, you're my real bed. Lord, you're my shoes. I'm sure glad I have shoes. We take shoes for granted around here. Lord Jesus, you're my shoes. I can go like that. And it doesn't hurt at all, right? I can walk on rocks. And I'm comfortable. Right? Lord, you're my clothing. You're my suit. Or my whatever this is. Sports jacket. Right? For comfort, for warmth, and for beauty. The Lord wants us to be lovely. Not just warm, right? Otherwise, we just wear a big gray bag, you know? He's my clothing. Lord, you're my clothing. Amen. The loveliest sight to see is someone wearing Christ. Amen. That's another thing Paul said. You've put on Christ. You know, the Galatians might have been following him. Yeah, okay, I'm crucified with Christ. Okay, I got that. And I said, Christ has revealed me, right? I got that. Okay. I put on Christ. Wait a second. What do you mean I put on Christ? Doesn't that strike you as a little odd? I put on Samuel. I don't know, Samuel. I mean, I like Samuel. I see Samuel. I didn't put him on, though. Paul, what are you talking about? When you were baptized, praise the Lord, we had some baptisms today.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We saw some saints put on Christ.
Amen.
Lord, you're my clothing.
Amen.
You're my glasses. I can't see without you. I like to wear these. I'm sorry, but I like to be able to see the people I'm talking to. And if I don't wear these glasses, I'm talking to smudges. You know what I mean? Looks like somebody airbrushed your face off. I can't see. I can't see without the Lord. The Lord is all these things. We should talk to, you should thank Him. Lord, thank you. Thank you for my glasses. Even though they're busted, I can see. I can read Isaac Chu. I can read Sam. I can even see Anaheim. Right? Lord, you're my glasses. Tell the Lord that. You should talk to the Lord like that. What's wrong with that? You know, one of the sisters, it's awkward, right? I'm talking to the trees, right? Talk to the trees, they put you away, right? There used to be a song, I talk to the trees, that's why they put me away. Well, you know, you think it's a little crazy. We're not talking to the trees. Well, we're talking to the trees. Bradley said, talk to the trees. Tree, you're beautiful. But I am filled with Christ. I'm a real tree. Tell the tree that. Speak. Speak, Neil. Speak. Speak Christ. Speak about Him. Speak to Him. When Brother Lee was a young man, he was real quiet. He was real shy. He was real hard to say anything in public. But the Lord gave him a commission. So you know what he did? He went to the beach. He lived in Yantai, Chifu, northern China, beach country. And he would go to the beach and talk to the waves. Speak to the ocean. Ocean, Christ is my all. Ocean. heaven, you need Jesus. He practiced. He practiced to speak. Our God is a speaking God. Our God is a living God. Okay. You have to speak. Lord, you're my breath. In one of these, in Dick's, I think he said, the Lord wants us to enjoy him as frequently as we breathe. Wow, I had a really good time this morning, you know. It was really good. That's the way we are with the Lord. Oh man, I had 5 good minutes with the Lord, right? Oh, I'm breathing out my sorrow. Breathing out my sin. Okay, see you later, Lord. The Lord is our breath. The Lord intends for you and I to enjoy him as frequently as we breathe. As regularly as we breathe. As effortlessly as we breathe. You know, breathing is a one of those things you do that you don't really do. It's kind of like digestion, you know. I don't know what they call that. It's somewhere in between voluntary and involuntary. You know what makes you breathe? Carbon dioxide load. You get a carbon dioxide load and you just come in, drink in, breathe. Yeah, I believe that's physiology students. Have a hint? Agree? In other words, when the Lord shows us he's our breath, we need to say, Lord, I want to enjoy you with every breath. Amen. You're my real breath. Amen. I don't want to breathe you on Lord's Day. He's our drink. How often do you drink? You got to 5 times a day? 10 times a day? Food, at least 3 times a day. Some of the brothers are having a really good one brother told me they have a really good 2x2, 3x3 time to pray. And when they got finished praying, they realized they'd forgotten about dinner. And I said, wow, young brothers forgetting dinner. Right? What is that? Right? He's our dinner. He's our light. He's our light. We can't see anything without him. Lord, you're my real light. I can't see anything without you. Our clothing, our dwelling place. Okay. All these wonderful things. We have to speak these things. We have to reprogram ourselves. Is that a bad word? Oop, I'm trying to program you. No, I just want you to program yourself. Lord, you're my real jacket. You're my clothing. Lord, you're my dwelling. Lord, you're my everything. Okay, we have to speak. Okay, the key is speaking. All right, then Roman numeral 2. Let's read this. I didn't cover this point at all last night. Let's read it. The very Christ, who is the reality of all positive things, is the one who is the head of the body. Thus, to hold the head is simply to enjoy Christ as the reality of all positive things. Bradley shared a really good word one time. He says, you know how to hold something? And I was thinking, yeah, that's really tight. Just hold on. Hold on. Well, he said, you know, the best way to hold your lunch is to eat it. Amen. You're afraid you bring your lunch to the school and you're afraid you're going to forget or somebody else is going to eat it, right? Depending on what kind of school you go to, right? And, okay, the best thing to do, you want to keep, you hold on to your lunch, eat it. Amen. I got it. Enjoy Christ. Enjoy him as the reality of all the shadows in your life. And the more you enjoy Christ, and the more you're filled with Christ, listen, the more the feeling of Christ will be your feeling. And that's the feeling of the head. And he has a lot of feeling for a lot of things. that don't have anything to do with you. Listen, saints, for the greater part of our life and most of our days, day by day, we're filled with ourself. We're just filled. We're just filled. And I think especially at this time of your life, you're full of so many things. I'm not saying bad things. There's so many things. Decisions. Problems. Choices. Situations. You know, it's not all of us do this, but we all like to. We all like to talk to somebody. Problem is, we can't find anybody who'll listen. Because everybody wants to talk. We're just full. We're full. Up to here. So we have no feeling for anybody. Unless they happen to coincide with what we like to talk about. Or what we need. Oh, you're really good in math, are you? Oh, great. How about we be study companions? No, I'm really bad in math, right? So we're just full of ourselves. We're full. This is just the way we are. Okay, what are we going to do about that? The Lord has the church. We're surrounded by saints. We're surrounded by people who have all kinds of needs. What do we do about that? We need to enjoy Christ. Amen. As the body of all these shadows we see. Then as we enjoy Him, His feeling fills us. And He has a feeling for a lot of things. He has a feeling for a lot of people. The ones right around you, He has a lot of feeling about. The ones you don't know, He has a lot of feeling about. So, the issue of our enjoyment of Christ as the reality of all the positive things, who is the head of the body, right, is that we, right, says when we allow Christ be to be the head in everything, and when we grow up into Him in all things, we will be supplied with the riches of His life, receiving from Him to transfuse Him into other members of the body. Isn't that wonderful? Would you like to be delivered from yourself?
Amen.
Would you like to be occupied with Christ?
Amen.
And then you'll care for His body.
Amen.
Right? Let's read the focus here. These focuses are also really good in all these messages. Let's read the focus at the bottom of 83, and then we'll get on to tonight's... Jim, Christ is your real watch. Okay. Well, let's read the focus and then we'll... Okay, go. The all-inclusive Christ as the reality of all positive things is for our subjective experience. And the more we experience and enjoy Him, the more we will be brought into the subjective realization of Christ as the head of the body, which will make us conscious of the body. Love all the members of the body and build up the body. Make us conscious. Oh, there's other people. Oh, Jones. Oh. The Lord has an intention. The Lord has a heart's desire, a good pleasure. And we can enter into this and know this only as we enjoy Him as the reality of all the positive things. That will lead us to hold the head by enjoying Him, by enjoying the head, Christ. Then we will be a functioning member in the body, right? Okay, now we're coming to message 4, and I'm going to... This message is a very... I think it's a... I don't know if it's a turning point, but it's a very... In these first three messages, we've seen something of Christ... So splendid, so inexhaustible, so beyond I hope we would all pray, Lord, you know, when Paul was knocked down on the road, what did he say? Oh, you're the all-inclusive one. No. He said, Lord, who are you? Who are you? I hope we would pray that. I hope we would pray, Lord, I don't know you. I know you, but I don't know you. I know you a little bit, but you're not a little bit. You're much more. Lord, I want to know you. I want to spend my whole life coming to know you. All right, well, how does that take place? Okay, that takes place by our living a hidden life in Christ. Okay, and this hidden life in Christ is from a number of angles, because it's taken from the life study of Colossians, it's taken from the life study of Matthew, and it's taken from some passages in the ministry of Brother Nee and Brother Lee. Young saints, I believe at this time in the Lord's recovery, the revelation of Christ has never been more vast, never been more precious, never been more central and focal, central to who we are today and what we are in the Lord's recovery, the revelation. But this revelation needs to become our experience, right? If this one is unlimited, then I should have no limit, right? If this one is overcoming, I should just be living in the overcoming one. All right. Well, what's the key? How does this take place? This takes place by, I would say, a proper understanding of our relationship to the Lord as the head, as our source, and of the body corporately. Knowing Christ in both aspects. To know the Lord in the body, to enjoy Christ in His fullness, we must be in the church. We must be on the proper ground of oneness in the church today, in the church life, right? And we stress this. This is a major landmark in the Lord's recovery, right, is the corporate Christ. Christ is not just a individual person. He is a corporate person, right? But at the same time, and for that corporate Christ, we must know the Lord personally, privately, Amen. Secretly, in a hidden way. Amen. And we should live Him out in His virtues in a hidden way. Amen. This may seem, I don't know. I just don't know how much feeling you have about this. But I hope the Lord would impress you very much tonight, anew, or maybe for the first time. You, Isaac, you need to know the Lord. You, personally, privately, secretly. privately, personally, in a hidden way. You know, I know there's a saying, and I think it's right in an aspect of preach the gospel and no necessary use words. Well, that's true. Meaning, you know, if you just live this lousy life and then you're all the yak, then who's going to listen to you, right? It's a very funny illustration used by a brother. He said, what if you're selling hair tonic, you know, to grow your hair back, you know, and you look like me, right? I'm a bad hair tonic salesman. Why? Because I'm missing a lot. No matter how I try, right? It's a big shiny spot, right? I don't have anything to say about hair tonic. Okay, so it's better just put on the hair tonic and, you know, have more hair. Okay, that's true. On the other hand, our life, number one, factually, Paul said, you are dead. Okay? In Christ, you are dead. Today, in the baptisms, the first significance of baptism is you're dead. You're not only dead, you're buried. You're dead, and now you're doing the right thing. Bury it. Bury it. Okay? All right. And, right, the other part is this, you're raised with him, right? And your life is hidden. You're hidden. You're hidden. Your Christian life is a hidden life. The great proportion of your enjoyment of Christ and my enjoyment of Christ should only be known to the Lord. Now you say, well, you're always telling us to prophesy and speak in the meetings. Yeah, what? You ever heard of the top tenth? They were to bring the top tenth of their enjoyment to the meeting. That means there's 90% back at home. 90%. You know, in an illustration, Brother Lee said, if you have $100, it's better to, if it has to be known, it's better to give 10 cents. I thought he was going to say $10. He said 10 cents. You have $100. That means you left $999.90 in the bank. Trees last, you know, all these sempervirens here, oh, big deal, sempervirens, 2,000 years old, blah, 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 right? You know what happens to a sempervirens if you put it out on the plains of Jericho or you put it someplace and put it in the real world? Boom. No roots. No root structure. They're the shallowest root system for the tallest tree. They just fall right down when the wind blows. Beautiful, beautiful tree, right? The cedars of Lebanon are better. The roots of the cedars are good. That's why cedars are the oldest living organisms on the earth, not these guys. These guys grow well where they're in a little valley and there's no wind, and then it never really blows hard, so they grow. They go. Now we let the secret out on the sequoias, okay? They're not that great after all, right? They have no roots. They're 90% visible. 90% of their life is visible to all. 90% of their life is visible to all. So when the rain comes, when the wind comes, boom. Boom. Well, this life is the indestructible life. But this life has been sown into the soil of our heart. And if it has no room for its hidden life to grow, eventually it'll suffer loss. This is Mark 4, verse 6. This is Matthew 13. The seed that received the word and immediately, hallelujah, amen, Lord, this is great. Okay, that's good. That's good. But if that seed doesn't have a hidden life, hidden, a hidden life, then in time, the test will come and the life won't fail, but the soil will not give it the root it needs. Young people, in the Lord's recovery today, I believe the Lord has given us more. I wouldn't say more than we need. All that we need in revelation, in view. And He's given us such a wonderful environment corporately. Never leave the meeting life. Never go out. Never. Never. Don't. Drag your bones to the meeting. Come on, bones, we're going to the meeting. Get there. Having a hard time? Best place to have a hard time is in a meeting. Because then people will know you're having a hard time. And they'll go, hey, you having a hard time? Let's pray. No, I'm not going to meeting, man. I'm having a hard time. So you just stay home and... No. Stay in this environment. It's the best environment. What an environment we're in here, huh?
Amen.
I'm sitting there in my room this afternoon and I'm hearing the singing going on, and last night we were down here singing and the brothers were up there roaring and right? I'd like just to bring this back home with me, right? This is the best. And I'm in this. I'm in this all the time. I'm in the church life. Church life. I don't go to meetings. I live in the meeting life. Oh, yeah, it's Tuesday night. We've got to go to the hall tonight. Yeah, okay. I'm meeting all the time. I'm meeting. I'm meeting in twos and threes. I'm meeting in tens and twenties. I'm meeting in fifties and hundreds. I'm meeting in fives and a thousands and two thousands. I'm just meeting all the time. I'm having fellowship. I'm having prayer. I'm preaching the gospel. I'm visiting people in their homes. Then I go home. Pet the dog, eat dinner, sleep for a while. And keep on meeting, right? It's the best life. Oh, what a wonderful life! The church life! We invented that, you know. That's our word, you know. Church life. Churching. Churching, churching, churching. We're churching all over the earth. Yeah, that's what we're doing. We're in the Diamond Lane. Somebody shared that one time. You know, the Diamond Lane is the carpool lane, right? You want to stay on the freeway? You don't want to veer off the next exit? Every exit you're going, do I want to get off? Do I want to get off? Do I want to go? Do I want to leave? Right? But if you're in the carpool lane, right, which means you have a few with you, right? Of two or three. In Marin County, they just need two, right? In San Francisco, they need three, right? Then you're just in the Diamond Lane, right? Man, this is good, isn't it? Hallelujah. Corporate! The environment! We are environmentalists! We're all for the best environment. Ecosystem! How's your ecosystem? Are you in the top of the food chain or the bottom of the food chain? Huh? Top. We're enjoying the good land.
Amen.
In the diamond lane. Right? Oh, it's so good to drive with others, isn't it?
Amen.
Look at all these poor guys over here. They're just stopped. They're just stopped in their tracks. They might as well be in a parking lot. And we're going about 50 miles an hour. All we have to worry about is some illegal entry, right? Honest. You've got to be corporate. I'm not saying this word, now you've all got to go. Be alone. Forget that. But, on the other hand, you must go to the Lord personally. Privately,
Amen.
Spiritually,
Amen.
Intimately,
Amen.
Hiddenly.
Amen.
The Lord said, you go into your closet and you shut the door. It's hard to shut the door here, I know. You're out in the woods and the trees and everybody else is looking for a door, right, to shut. Listen, young people, please. Please. Take this word concerning your personal life with the Lord to heart and make the changes you need to make. Your heart may be like a parking lot right now. Okay? I mean, paved over. Okay? I don't have a bit of concern about that. Okay? Because the Lord is able to deal with parking lots. And don't say, oh no, he's going to bring in the sledgehammer and the kaboom, kaboom, right? Just bust Timothy up, right? No. But you don't worry about your condition. Forget about your condition. You think you're so bad? Are you thinking, I don't know what you think you are, right? You spend some time with the Lord.
Amen.
Alone.
Amen.
In a hidden way.
Amen.
Hidden.
Amen.
You need this.
Amen.
If we don't have this kind of living, we will suffer loss. And the Lord will suffer loss. The Lord will be delayed. He'll be delayed. The church life, the corporate companionship you have among yourselves. You know, when I came into the Lord's recovery, I had one other guy with me all the time. Paul Hahn. You know Brother Paul Hahn? Paul Hahn was my nursemaid. He was my chauffeur. He was my chef. He was my tennis companion. He was an electrical engineer. Can you believe it? And I was a really goofy liberal arts guy. He's Chinese. I'm not. But we were just unidentical twins, you know. Amen. Triune God. We had identical genetic code. Okay? But it's only because of and by my personal, private, hidden, spiritual, intimate contact with the Lord that to say some extent the Lord had mercy on me. Many, many, many in my generation, many were not able to pass through. Many tests are coming. Many tests are coming for you. Many, many difficult situations are coming for you. Waiting for you. Waiting for you. They're waiting for you. Down at the mountain. You know, when they went up to the mountain and they saw the Lord, they came down from the mountain. What was the first thing they ran into? A demon-possessed man. They couldn't cast him out. That's what's waiting for you. That's what's waiting. Not just waiting for you to, when you get back. Every day. All kinds of things. But if you personally, you learn to spend time with the Lord. You learn to know the Lord. You. All these things will be for your benefit. They'll all be for your blessing. They will be a blessing to you. Any impediment, any difficulty, any persecution, any situation will become a big blessing to you. And you'll just say, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him.
Amen.
How I've proved him over and over. Oh, for grace to trust him more. How come the person could write that song? Because of their intimate, personal, spiritual, private, hidden life with the Lord. You know, sometimes in our life, maybe among our companions or where we are, it's not so easy. Maybe it seems like it'd be a hard time. I wish I could just read all these books to you, but you can do that yourself. These are Deep Calls Unto Deep and A God Who Hides Himself. This is talking about God's nature. Okay, have you read this book? I would encourage you to read it often. You can read it in 15 minutes. If you've never read it, please. I wish we had a bookstore up here, you know. Maybe the next time we have a bookstore up here, we can sell books, right? These books here talk about God's nature. He's hidden. And these talk about our life. We need to be hidden. We need roots. We need roots. Unseen growth. Unseen. Unknown by anyone. But manifested over time. Manifested in your living. Well, let's just read the Roman numerals, and then I will. I'm sorry, I've gotten a little. I need to be a scheduled person better. But okay, let's read the Roman numerals together, 1, 2, and 3, and then we'll just have a little concluding prayer, and then we'll have some chance to respond, maybe. Okay. All right. Roman numeral. Let's read the subtitle, and then Roman numeral 1. Go. Living a hidden life with Christ. 1. Our life should be a hidden life. A life hidden with Christ in God. 2. Our life in the kingdom of the heavens should correspond with the mysterious hidden nature of the divine life. 3. Our life should be a life deeply rooted in Christ and thereby a hidden life before God. Okay. Roman numeral 1 is talking about our life, which is hidden with Christ in God, right? Roman numeral 3 says our life should be a life deeply rooted in Christ and thereby a hidden life. Okay. Practically, what does this mean? This means we need to spend time, we need to start to spend time personally with the Lord and intimately with the Lord and throughout our life with the Lord. There's really no other way much to say it. But in this kind of living where we are with the Lord, you know, the message I tried to cover last night, or the point I tried to make last night, where the Lord stripped off the rulers and authorities and the Lord nailed the ordinances of the cross. Why did he do that? He did that so he could have a peaceful environment to dispense life into you. There's nothing that should keep you, prevent you, frustrate you from being with the Lord. Amen. Nothing. Even you say, I don't know what to do. That's good. That's fine. You don't need to know what to do. You don't need anybody to tell you what to do. You just go and be with the Lord. You know, Brother Lee said, it says in Matthew, your Father who sees in secret will repay you when you pray in secret. It doesn't say your Father hears you. It says he sees you. He sees you in secret. So, what do you need to do? You just be there. Lord, I'm just here. And I don't know what to do. But I'm here. I give you the first place. Lord, speak to me. Lord, thank you, you're my home. I'm so comfortable in you. Young saints, please bring this matter to the Lord. And bring this matter with one another to pray. And help one another this way. Okay? You have companions. You have those who are looking out for you. You have those who are concerned for you. Bring this matter to the Lord. And ask the Lord to grow in you in a hidden way. Right? All the obstacles that we feel are in our way are there mainly because of a shortage of this kind of time with the Lord. There's no obstacle. There's no problem. There's nothing the Lord hasn't done already that's been done. We just need time to absorb it. We really need time to take it in at our pace, at my speed, at your speed, for my need, for your need. Right? So much hangs on this. So much hangs on this. For you personally, for the Lord's interests on the whole earth today.